So go and pick that curriculum, stick to the curriculum. Tomorrow morning, someone logs in, hey, BUT has released 3.0. It has so many parameters. Now it's big. Don't deviate, right? Mm-hmm. Essentials, basics, any mentor can tell.
Today, we have with us someone who got recognized for spreading positivity to tackle depression by Prime Minister of India, Narendra Modi, and also is a superstar in the field of machine learning / supervised learning who craves to learn every day. He's Prithvi, also the founder and chief mentor at supervisedlearning.com. Prithvi has successfully trained, mentored 500 people to date to successfully switch their careers into data science. Also, we'll explore if supervised learning could be used in the field of love. Stick around to the end as we have Prithvi answer all of these questions and share a surprise with you.
If you are new to Co-Learning Launch, then our podcasts are dedicated to helping you gain the best experience from data scientists, industry leaders, and researchers around the globe that solve problems using machine learning and AI.
Okay, Prithvi. Let me ask you the first question. Prithvi, you have worked in various fields such as e-commerce, FMCG, education, and did some software development. If you had to look back into your journey and tell us about one industry that you love to work in and have had the most failures to learn from, what would that be?
First of all, I hope you guys can hear me. And Kunal, thank you for very elaborate artist. Welcome. Overwhelmed. And coming back to the question, see, if you ask me an industry, the first, it's the education industry. The reason is simple because it's ever evolving and tons of problems that need to be solved in education industry, especially taking education to masses. If you look at our engineering education today, less than 10%, not even 5% are being employed. And look at other spaces, e-commerce, healthcare, or all other spaces are getting enough innovation being done, but education is a space which needs
is lacking.
And it's true time that the real intellectuals, especially people who study at NITs and IITs, who crack the best of the exams, come back to education and solve the problems here. Yeah, that's what education will be my first pick. Of course, awesome. When I say education, it will be technology education, not science education. Of course, we have learned enough of science. Now go back to apply and create products, create entrepreneurs.
So obviously, as you see education as one of your topics, right? And in this education field, what are some of the current challenges that you see in terms of teaching the technology? Obviously, we are in AI and ML, right? So you have interacted with 500 plus students and you have gathered so much experience. So in this field, what are some of the challenges that you still see even today and we could do something about it?
First of all, two things here. Whenever it comes to education, I talk about two things, content and mentors, right? We have humongous content on the YouTube or, for example, on the internet. Today's problem is not a lack of content. Today's problem is like we have crossed that stage where it's a huge content. Going through it and picking what we need and then making something out of it. That's on one side. When I first started supervised learning and I said, I'll make content again, Prithvi, aren't you reinventing the wheel? This was the question most of the people, seniors asked me. If it has to be inventing a wheel, I will invent if it's needed. And I felt that need because coherent content, interesting content is very little. And there are a lot of things in bits and pieces. Sometimes content is there, but it's not useful. Sometimes it's useful, but people don't know how to apply. That's one. Making content coherent, understandable, applicable is something, a problem still need to be solved. And when it comes to mentoring side, we need a lot of mentors, especially industry mentors, come forward, explain. Mm-hmm. When I look at the education sector, especially technology education, if you look at data science, people miss basics a lot.
Yep.
If you ask, hey, there are three hidden layer neural network, and tell them how many nodes are there, how do you implement gradient descent, just backpropagate it. 95% of people who have a certification in deep learning can't do it. That's one thing where, see, the depth comes from basics, right? When you understand basics clearly.
You have to get your basics right.
Basics, right? And that's where mentors play a good role. And it's always, I always call it tangible research, or outcome should be tangible. If you're doing something, it should add value to the business, right? So it's no longer your college wherein, hey, I studied, I made grades.
It's and I got a certificate.
No longer it's there. So when you come to the industry, industries, corporates are ruthless. If you don't add value, you'll be out of the game. Simple.
Absolutely.
So it's our mentors should take this as a responsibility and groom the future engineers who will add value to the company, who will go and solve the problems. Don't imagine problems and solve it. Solve the real problems. That's what I would say. So these are some of the problems which I would highlight. And final thing is scale. Even today, when we talk about scale on education, it's like giving recorded content and scaling marketing and sales.
Yep.
Selling and marketing and sales, yeah, while I agree it can be done, but the bigger problem is how many of people are completing recorded courses,
right? 13%.
13%, 10% Coursera or Udemy's or Udacity. And second, only live classes or in-classroom sessions are found to be engaging. So you can't take a teacher out of education and scale. You may scale it, but the results are abysmal. So that's something... an interesting problem, even I'm trying to solve it supervised. Like the live classes should happen. At the same time, we should be able to scale slowly.
Yeah. Absolutely. Agreed with you. So Prithvi, one more thing when you're saying all of this that hit me is right. When we, the outcomes that we want to produce out of using AI and ML and drive business outcomes, right?
Right.
Now, if you look at most of the courses, right, they are like divided into Python, some percentage of your time, and then you have machine learning, deep learning, and algorithms, some percentage of your time, statistics, some percentage of your time.
Okay.
But I rarely find courses that tie all of your outcomes and teach students how to basically take the results, interpret the results, and showcase it to a business stakeholder that it makes sense for them. What's your take on this particular thing? How we should structureize the content such that this portion, that little portion where you are showing value to the stakeholders and from a business perspective is blown much more bigger and giving students the right time and importance to learn these concepts?
That's a very interesting question. Again, yes, as we discussed, industry needs someone who adds value. And when we ship data scientists to the industry, the seniors expect everything to be done. So I'll tell you how we do at Supervised Learning. So we do some backward propagation. Like we first start about a use case, solve a use case ourselves, and then try to use the elements of those use cases. For example, we have data cleaning. So in the data cleaning, we come to probability or stats, and then we have feature engineering. There are a lot of brainstorming is needed, EDA. If we have to structure the content, it's not like a look at a textbook, look at other curriculums which are there in the market and start preparing our content. So it has to be something like, hey, let's solve the problem. And now how did Prithvi solve this problem? Because he knows stats. So the first module is stats. Okay, how did you start do EDA? Okay, because I know how to do plotting. So then add plotting to the content. So working in the industry helped me in designing the curriculum. I'm like ruthless. See, if this is no longer used in the industry, I won't teach them. In fact, there were inferential stats, if you take it as an example. One of very complex topics you can teach for at least 6 months, right? But industry doesn't use it so much. What is used? Z-test or T-test or chi-square test and F-test, 4 tests.
Yeah.
You take 4 hours, teach it, and then I...
gone.
And that's it. And tell people, hey, if you need... you can dig further like this. So depth versus breadth kind of approach. So coming to the question of structuring a curriculum, first solve the problem and come back and add curriculum components from there. And even if you tell topics wise also, I always tell what a data scientist to do. Skills, concepts, and tools.
Absolutely.
Broadest perspective in any, even if you take blockchain or even if you take any other domain, skills, concept, tools. Tools, learn by practice. Concepts, go to textbook, listen from the skills, keep on doing it. There's no other way. So if you keep that broad perspective, skills, concepts, tools, then that's how we can design good curriculums.
So what is that? Skills,
concepts, tools.
Yeah. So skills, concepts, and tools, guys. So please note this down. This is going to be one mantra from supervised learning, Prithvi, to keep you going. And if you have this broad perspective, it's going to be very helpful. So moving to another aspect, Prithvi. Now, as a mentor or coach, you have to learn yourself a lot. And you indicated that you still learn from online courses, or you go to attend events, or whatever places that are there that you go and try to learn from there. Now, I know we've spoken to other data scientists, and we have a similar story from there. But we also wanted to dig down a little bit. Okay, now, as data scientists, how do you structure your learning pathways? Okay, you have learned so many things. Then how do you pick and choose what you need to learn next? And second, how do you schedule the time in your daily life, even today? Like, even after you're training so many folks and all of that thing, how do you find time for yourself to learn? Is it like 30 minutes a day, or let's say 1 or 2 hours blocks of time in a week? Or, you know, what's the frequency that you learn, and what's the path that you take or topics that you choose to learn?
Okay. Yeah, first of all, the importance of learning, even after 4 years, 5 years into data science, I feel there's a lot to learn. And that's why the role of mentor at Supervised is renamed as super learner. The supermost form of learning is by learning through teaching. And even for a teacher, learning never stops. It has to be always. In fact, if you look at the logo of SL, it's infinite. It combines S and L. Infinite learning. This is a generation where everyone has to keep learning. It's not like you learn once for 4 years and you get a sarkari job and then your life settled. No longer like that. Now, coming back to areas which I would like to figure out, generally is most likely I pick up fields which has a huge scope of industry applications and a lot of problems to solve. And of course, of area of interest. For me, it is always natural language processing. Okay. So, born to a language expert.
So, Hugging Face is your exploration right now?
Yeah, Hugging Face is a very small part of it. Once you start digging a lot in NLP, so we have a lot of applications. So, I chose NLP. So, my mantra to learn a new thing is go spend some time and read it. If you love it, take it up, add to your learning schedule, technical and all. Now, second part of question, how do you schedule the time? Yes, I am very particular at scheduling at least 2 hours or 1 hour every day. I force myself to read this. In fact, the ever expanding content idea at Supervised Learning is the reason we don't stop. We produce content every day. So the idea is to, so that all the data science team or the academics team keeps learning. So most of my time goes there. NLP is one favorite area I pick up. And if you want to talk about how I generally learn, I prefer textbooks most than research papers. Keep on reading them again. Very hardly, very rarely I go for videos because I'm not a video guy. I'm always a text guy. From textbooks or notes or some slides and yeah. So scheduling some time of the day will be helpful. Earlier till March, when there are not of a lot of disturbance and turbulence in operational aspect of entrepreneurship, I used to spend 5 hours a week, 6 hours a week. And by the way, early mornings are the best time. Like I wake up at 5:30 or 6, and then for next 2 hours, no need to open. Even if you open any social media, there's nothing going there. So you spend good quality time there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I echo your schedule, Prithvi, that morning times is the best. That's the time you can learn and consume how much ever and it'll, you'll all get it. The other part that you mentioned is that, and this is for the audience, Prithvi mentioned he forces himself to sit down for 1-2 hours and do it, right? Now, there's a lot of times that we don't feel like doing it. We don't want to do it. It's hard, but notice, Prithvi, even today, using the word force to basically put himself there and learn. That's the only way we can make progress. Initially, it's going to be tough, but the more you do it, the more resilience you build towards forcing yourself and sitting down and actually learning. And that's a great learning from, great to see you doing what you need to be doing as a data scientist, not only as a mentor, but for the community itself to push the envelope in terms of creating content.
Thank you so much. In fact, this is one way I go and promise students. So there's no way you can go back to learn and all.
Yeah, you know, now if you declared, you have to do that 1 or 2 hours. Else we'll haunt you.
not now. I've been doing this for last 2-3 years. So, absolutely. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. So, Prithvi, thanks for sharing your journey on that aspect. Now, obviously, as we mentioned, you have coached over 500 folks, students, happy learners, and you're going to start your 11th batch on supervised learning. Yeah. Now, if you had to summarize the top three mistakes that students make during your program, and what best strategies can students use to avoid those common three pitfalls out of your experience?
Top three. Okay. The first one is not spending time, right? You have to see, I will love only what I'll do only what I love is a phrase not suitable for the beginners. Yeah. You have to force yourself to do, and then you love it, then automatically it will happen. The slackness of students or whatever. So once you commit it, you have to force yourself to do it for at least sometimes. In fact, in this context, I'll tell you, my journey of data scientist started in 2015. 2016 January, I renamed my laptop password as Become Data Scientist. That was my laptop password. It was almost 22 characters maybe. When I'm typing, my friends were like, dude, what did you put? Why did you put so long password? So it was subconsciously telling me no deviations, no deviations. 8 months later, I got a role as a data scientist, and then I changed the laptop password.
As data scientist.
No, there's a different password. Okay. So you have to, I used to go to the prominent blogs, KD Nuggets or some media, and use it to mark them as see them first in Facebook. In those days, Facebook used to have features. So I used to surround myself, force myself to read, pursue. So that slackness or laziness, I would say you have to overcome somehow in the initial few days.
Just force yourself, just gulp it down and
spend time. And second thing is practice. So practice is something which is really missing among a lot of students. See, I can make it as interesting as possible. You love it. But after you go back, if you don't revise, right, then it will be really difficult. There were days I used to take printout of all the slides which I studied and keep it with me. Whenever I go in the bus also, I used to read them, underline them. So there's no simple ways to get it right. So practice, go do the hands-on, try it. Only if you try it, you will get it. That will be the second mistake. And third mistake is, I would say, being ambitious to put more efforts is good. But being ambitious, like, within 3 months, I want to become a data scientist. It doesn't happen.
That's key. You need to put a deadline so that you can work towards it. It's like ticking bomb, reminding you.
Yeah, you can keep it as a target so that you will learn faster. But expecting without any efforts will be dangerous. I still get messages on LinkedIn. Prithvi, I started learning from 8 months. Okay. Mm-hmm. My question is, how many hours did you spend in 8 months? Mm-hmm. Don't count how when you started. It's like, see, if you have an ambitious goal, you have to put enough efforts for it. Yeah. Don't go into math. And data science or this AI is a field where it requires a lot of time. And I see a lot of people go down demotivated saying, this field, I don't get a job. I studied this much. There's so much to study.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what is the electrical engineering curriculum at NIT Warangal. This data science curriculum is nothing. Right?
Absolutely.
So that's where we inherently, human brains have a lot of capacity. When we realize that and when we put more efforts and stop getting demotivated, I'll tell you every single data science transition I have seen, I have mentored, came only through hard work. Mm-hmm. 1 year, 1.5 years.
Put in the hours.
Put in the hours. Then you'll get it. Without putting in the hours, I applied to interviews, I didn't get a calls, and there's too much of competition. That guy did a course at a premier institute, he has a certificate, he got the job, I don't get the job. No. If you're really qualified, you'll get it. Wrong expectation without putting efforts is that third major mistake. So keep yourself grounded and see, your game is your game. I have seen students who are like women working, had to take care of household, had kids. Still, they tried for 1.5 years and they made it. You can't compare it with a young 2 years old out of graduate bachelor who has a lot of time, right? Everyone's game is different. So don't compare with others. Keep putting efforts. You'll land a job someday.
So you've heard Prithvi speak his top 3 mistakes and see, he's doing 11th batch. So he has seen this problem and that's what I wanted to get out from him because it's recurrent and that's how he remembers it. And that's what you need to keep in mind. There is no alternative to putting the hours and putting the right hours. Like you can sit there for 1 hour and just read and do nothing about it, but also do the work. For example, even if you're doing a logistic regression, you learned it. Come and apply it on different data sets. Go and push the accuracy. Do all the variants of logistic regression. See what are the tests that needs to be passed for doing a logistic regression. See how that the logistic regression equation is built. Try to code it. So there are so many variants. Even if you just take one topic, you're just going to be going in multiple dimensions to learn about it. And then eventually one day you will just get it. Ah, logistic regression. This is how it's done. It's so easy, right? That's because you put in the hours, you practiced it in various angles, and that's how you get to learning a particular cost.
And one final thing I have to tell you about this. Data science as a subject, it's not about how much you learn. It's about how much you apply. When you go to interviews, people will ask you depth, not the breadth. If you keep on telling breadth, okay, very good. Let's dive deeper.
How did you apply it?
let's dive deeper. Then you're gone. So it's always depth. How much you apply of how much you learned does matter. Even today, I don't claim I'm an expert at deep learning because I didn't put enough time. Machine learning, NLP, stats, coding, I can do because I did it. Achieve depth. That's what I would say.
Don't let the interviews dig where they shouldn't be digging.
True.
Okay. Awesome. So thanks for bringing that out, Prithvi. Now, with this, you know, one of the things that I wanted to also bring out is as a mentor, some of the things that echo the feelings on coaching and mentoring. What are some of the instances that you cherish teaching students and mentoring that you want to do and teach more often? So what's that feeling that you get when you teach?
Again, I'm reading a book called Flow. It's called How Happiness is Achieved. Teaching makes me forget the world, in fact. So I love it. I had backache, I feel cold, I feel cough, and I start teaching. 2 hours later, I forget it. Somehow it's like a medicine. So for everyone, there is some of the activity which has that optimal active experience. For me, it is teaching, one thing. And second thing is the sense of accomplishment when all the students come back and say, hey, understood. Just I'll tell you the example of confusion matrix. After I teach confusion matrix, where I have students commenting, people, hey, Prithvi, I'll never forget this in my life. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the best you can get. So confusion matrix, you know how confusing it is. And when you can drive the whole concept.
Name says it all.
name says it all. 25 years old people. I had students on the live chat saying, hey, Prithvi, this is very well explained. And that's one thing. And finally, I have always stayed away from bits, tits and bits kind of information sharing. For example, write a blog, do a YouTube video. I'm not against that, but for me, mentoring someone for 9 months, 1 year, and they make a transition. I have at least 20, 30 students who always keep coming to this helped me today, this helped me. That satisfaction, that sense of accomplishment is something you don't get anywhere. And of course, teaching helps you become a better expert, especially on live teaching. You can't afford to teach a mistake. So personally, also, it improved my depth a lot. So that all these things makes teaching one good enjoyable task for me.
Echo your feeling, Prithu. I understand that flow. The moment I get into the flow, 3 hours just off and off and on. And the end of the session, when people get it or they thank about the concept, that's a wonderful feeling.
True. Yeah. It's a wonderful
Hey, Prithvi, now, so we want to do something fun with you, and we'll have another round of questions around that. And we call this the rapid fire round. So, be candid about answering these questions. This is something, some of the questions will be spooky because we've spotted on you and posted that questions.
Okay.
So let's start the rapid fire round for this particular podcast. What do you prefer, learning by error or learning without error?
Learning by error.
Batman versus Superman.
Superman.
Do you love to solve more or learn more?
Solve more.
Okay. Did you get into data science because of the increased job opportunities or because for the passion of data and mathematics?
Undoubtedly for the passion of data.
Do you come across students that get into this domain because of increased job opportunities?
Yes, undoubtedly, yes.
On which platform do you think the chances of getting hired are more? Job portals like Naukri and others, or LinkedIn?
LinkedIn.
Can you solve problem of data formatting with AI and ML?
Partly, yes.
This is an insider joke because a lot of times data comes in various formats and dealing with that takes a lot of time, and everybody that is the in the industry will be know.
Yeah, if you ask me, can you solve with data formatting issue with AI, ML or patience? Patience. No AML will work, no Excel will come. Only thing required is patience.
Absolutely. Yeah. Is AI part of ML or ML part of AI?
ML is part of AI.
Early morning person or a late night person?
Early morning, undoubtedly. My friends still taunt me, Prithvi, you can't stay beyond 10 p.m.
yes, absolutely. I think so. Even my time has come to around, let's say, 9:30 or 10 max. Beyond that, I'm not going.
Yeah.
And we got tagged as the old person. You're getting old.
I know.
That's the trade-off, right? The learning comes within the first few hours, and that's what needs to be protected.
I know. I have shooted emails to my employees at 4:30 a.m., 4 a.m., and these guys go to canteen or to England. Prithvi, when did you wake up? Then I'll recollect. Oh, I sent this email. Nowadays, I'm using scheduling so that it will go at 7 a.m. or 8 a.m. so that they don't know.
When you're sending it.
When I woke up.
Or else you'll have another problem to solve. You know, what's the standard deviation of your timings to get up and all of that explanation. So better schedule it after that time.
True.
Okay. Prithvi, now, obviously, this is the end of the rapid fire round. Thanks for answering those questions. Now, these will get advertised and blown out of proportion for whatever reasons. But
let's see.
Now we want to move into another interesting topic that we've spoken about in the beginning. And I've always wondered how machine learning could be used in the field of love, right? Have you ever thought of a use case that could come close to implementing supervised learning or unsupervised learning in the field of love? What's your take?
Okay, I'll tell this classic example on a date where I use machine. I don't say machine learning, some knowledge from data science field. So it was an arranged date. Of course, you understand the arranged date concept. Both parents will decide and say, hey, you go on a date.
Yeah.
The girl was not interested. I'm not interested. It was way back in 2019. So I'm like, saying a no before meeting to parents is very difficult. So I talked to the girl. We both are on the same page. Let's meet each other. and you reject me, I'll reject you. And that's done. Deal done.
Null hypothesis rejected.
Null hypothesis rejected. So, see, my way of avoiding confrontations is like taking the smoothest way to avoid confrontation. I met the girl, she's not good. So, this girl agreed. After she agreed, I asked her, hey, anyways, we are meeting. What's your favorite chocolate? Still, the guy in me didn't want to do a formal meet. I still wanted to consider it as a date. And this girl was like already pissed off. She replied, how does it matter? I was like, what's your favorite chocolate? And she's like, how does it matter? I'm like, what the hell? The ego of data scientist got hurt. So this girl accepted my Facebook request. So I went to her Facebook page, scrapped all the company pages she liked. Like my hypothesis, if she's liking some chocolate, she should have liked that page. And then use that named entity, pick out all the company names, organization names. And within 2 minutes, I found it Kit Kat. That's the only chocolate she liked.
Absolutely.
I went to the market, purchased a Kit Kat, placed it in front of her, and she was impressed. And she was telling me, Prithvi, I thought to reject you within half an hour, but I'm rejecting you after 4 hours.
The hypothesis still rejected.
Still rejected after some time. See, when you love something, you will implement it everywhere.
That's where your love for NLP started, Prithvi.
Yeah, this girl was, this not imagination, this not, I guess you knew it. I'm like, yeah, see, if you deny data to a data scientist, he'll figure it out somehow.
Somehow or the other. You beat the data enough and you get the answers.
Yeah. So that was one funny example I did.
Basically one use case that Prithvi is telling is scrape data, let the NLP do the job and get you the answers that you need.
Now people will say I'm stacking them or I'm doing this, I'm doing that. But okay, all the guys who are
that seemed an interesting problem to apply data science. So why not? Because we can.
Exactly, we can. But just don't see. It's 1.5 year now. Don't know that girl is not saying anything. I can come and out and say I scrapped your Facebook. So guys, be careful with the privacy laws and.
GDPR laws are watching.
GDPR laws. Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, we cannot really think of use cases of love in the near future. Probably you tried to give your best answer on that. However, little birdie tells me that your dream to write is no longer dream to write. It has finally come true.
True.
And it's the topic of love. Did I hear that right?
Yes. You heard it. And as you said, a lot of use cases I have. In fact, I wrote an entire series of chapters on dating a data scientist. So yeah, it's coming true soon.
Tell us about obviously we can speak about what the book about is and all that thing, but I particularly want to get into aspects of what are the hurdles you faced to write the book, right? That's where I'm interested, because see, you have a full-fledged business to run, you have your learnings to do, right. Stockings to do, and all of the other things. You still managed to find the time to write a book, and there are some hurdles that we face around it. So can you give us some insights on that?
Okay. First of all, it's been 5 years of writing. The first piece I wrote is for that book you're talking about, To My Love, is in 2016, 4 years to be precise. Hurdles is simple. It's lack of time, I would say. Undoubtedly, there's no motivation, but all. But something which pushed me to write is, again, like teaching, I always found writing also therapeutic. I felt a lot relieved from the world of data science. A lot of patients being used there, tired days, and then monotonous job sometimes. And I didn't want to be called as a nerd, first of all. That's the reason I came back writing. And hurdles, yeah, of course. The important hurdle is my thoughts were racing faster than my typing speed. I can write a lot of mistakes, then correcting is one thing. And getting good feedback for what you write is second thing, and third thing is this kind of your LinkedIn, your surroundings give you a picture, hey, you're a data scientist. The subconscious gets fed.
Impacted.
Now, yeah, impacted. Sure. So now in the evening when I try to write it out, oh really? So that's, I think that's one of the, some of the hurdles. But yeah, having said that, I've been writing since my childhood. Dad is an English professor, so I have good exposure to, and been writing through for business, for emails everywhere. So writing has become an inherent habit, but yeah, creative and writing is something which I explored for the first time with this book, and I cherished it. And challenges is, again, you don't get ideas always too. So
absolutely.
That's that writer's block. What
block?
Well, I feel the same actually.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. Audience, so Prithvi, what should the audience expect from your recent book, and what's the name of the book?
Okay. The book is To My Love. And okay, I tell you, the idea of the book is more on, I was, because of entrepreneurship, I didn't get the time to get into a lot of personal life. Even first transitioning to data science, then the data science job, then picking up a master's, and then entrepreneurship. Hardly had any time to focus on my personal life always. And I always wanted to pen out all the difficulties. A lot of singles face the loneliness. It's a depression. Though it's covered as a love story, it's all about a life story, I would say. So right, it's actually my journey for last right, 7-8 years. So I imagined a girl in this, and I write the same real life incident. If the girl was there, how it would have been. So my side is a real story. Her side is an imaginary story. I try to make a creative part of it. I would say augmented autobiography.
Still a geek.
Okay, geek is better. If you are not calling me nerd, I'm fine. If you call geek, I'm still fine with the geek.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's people who read parts of it, they still say, hey, you're a romantic nerd.
Absolutely. We have a new segment now of it.
Hopefully. I actually, had the COVID not hit, I would have been releasing by now. But after COVID has hit, I had to put a lot of time on the company, entrepreneurship, bringing back on track.
So, absolutely. Absolutely. One more thing. Why should anybody purchase your book? It comes out.
I would say it's a more of a motivational, how do you handle the problems? And if you are single, to daydream more, how to daydream, you should buy the book. If you are already a couple and in the world of love, then you'll get more ideas how to love more. And okay, if you are already in couple and you're already hating love, then you can buy the book to remember your good olden days.
Yeah, absolutely, Prithvi. So we have a new data science turned love guru also. Do watch out for his book, guys, and do support the non-geeky side of Prithvi also.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Hey, Prithvi. So before we end this podcast, I want to ask one question. And this is typically the question that we would like to ask all data scientists.
Right.
Is that if you had to learn everything that you know today in 3 months, how do you structure it and do it in a way that you do it, you are meeting your end goals faster and you're getting hired, right? Because that's some of the questions that a lot of the audience wants to know, primarily because everybody is rightly said, there's a lot of things to do, it's overwhelming and all of that. But in your experience, if you had to box fit 3 months of content and schedule, how would that be looking like?
Right. A very good question. I think I have to write a two-page blog on it. But I would say simple steps. First of all, focus and attention. Today's social media has deprived of attention space. In fact, had we been attentive, in fact, if Sri Chaitanya starts a data science institute, they can do it in 3 months. Sri Chaitanya is a popular institute of quota kind. 3 months of, see, first of all, work on yourself, attention and focus. And second thing, stick to a path. For example, I say to people, my curriculum is out for public for free. I'll give the curriculum, right? This is what you are required. So go and pick that curriculum, stick to the curriculum. Tomorrow morning, someone logs in, hey, BERT has released 3.0. It has so many parameters. Now it's bigger. Don't deviate, right? Mm-hmm. Essentials, basics, any mentor can tell you, mm-hmm. right? And the third thing is a Pareto rule. 80% of things can be ignored. 20% are what is used for 80% of the times. So you need not complete everything. For example, if you take pandas, let's say 20 or 30 of the codes are used again and again for 80% of the times. So okay. I've seen people who take the textbook and complete the entire pandas. It goes good 2 months. No.
Yeah.
Skim through. So you need to pick the art of learning. I mean, you need to learn how to learn first, then not learn data science, right? Learning itself is a thing. So these are the three things. If you can focus and having a timetable, having a mentor, something very good.
Focus on attention, sticking to your path, and like not deviating whatsoever. And putting in that hours of practice, which we earlier spoke, those are the aspects that you can fit all the content. Don't take a world of content, pick, let's say, regression problems, classification problems, or just take few problems that you can just master and apply it. So even if you get up and somebody asks you, hey, can we do this classification? The necessary ammunition to solve that problem. That's how 3 months should be looking like for you. Thank you, Prithvi, for sharing that with us. Hey, that's all for today. We had really fun time talking with Prithvi, both the geek and the non-geek side with him. Hopefully, he's going to change the dream of writing to something else on his LinkedIn profile. We at Co-Learning Launch are super excited to have your book released. Congratulating you from Co-Learning Launch side. Also, thank you for coming with us on this awesome platform, AirMeet, where events has taken a new turn of events coming virtual. Hey guys, do check out a lot of events that are coming through AirMeet, and obviously do catch the book of Prithvi when it comes out. And we at Co-Learning Launch are always there for your support. Join our group and stay connected.
First of all, thank you. Have been great host, Kunal. I really love that questions. And of course, for every Bahubali, there's a Rajamouli, right? The Rajamouli of Co-Learning Launch, Yogesh, right?